Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
It is Friday, June 11th, 2021. I'm here in the live stream waiting for Mr. Exclave to show up. He's new with software, apparently. He hasn't quite figured out Discord, which is strange because he's a smart guy. And I think he has a mental block to Discord where he doesn't want it to work, and therefore he's having a hard time navigating it. I can't believe I have to explain to a software techno kind of guy who loves Apple how to use Discord. Hopefully Benoit will show up in a minute. Maybe give him a hand there. Well, I heard somebody show up. It's Mr. Exclave. He made it.
So confusing.
I know. I was just saying, you're a smart guy. I know it's confusing, but I think you can figure it out.
I'm trying to use the Discord software.
Yeah.
And it opened up the software, but it doesn't have... Now, I went to the web, and now I see the web is completely different than what is in the software.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure. I can't tell you what you're looking at because I can't see it. But It is a little confusing, I guess, at the beginning. I don't have Mac software. I'm sure it's the same as Windows software. You made it. You figured it out. Once you join the Discord by clicking that link that I gave you, you're already in. You never have to use that link again. Because now that you're joined, when you go in your Discord software, on the left side, you'll see all the servers that you're part of. And then just click on the icon of the server, and then you'll see all the message and audio rooms that are on that particular server. So obviously, you're part of a couple other servers that you mentioned that I know of. I don't go to those ones because I think All Unreal is pretty dead. I don't even know if I'm in that server anymore. But once you're in, you're in. You don't have to keep joining. And a lot of people leave the server after they've been in an audio channel. What they really want to do is hang up. There's a hang up. Yeah.
How do you hang up?
Well, on the bottom, there's a hang up the phone icon somewhere. So if you want to leave the audio, you click that. A lot of people find somewhere in the menu, leave server. And then they've left the server, and then they got to get invited back in, which and then re-verified. And I won't mention who has done that about 25 times. And then they even create a brand new login to come back in, so it's even worse. So they create a million different logins for Discord, which you only need to make a login once, ever, unless you get banned like I did. And then you got to make a new login. When they took down my Discord channel, they also lost or screwed up my login. Then I had to make a new one.
And so you're on your Bluetooth, I'm assuming, because you sound really distant.
Yeah, the Discord Bluetooth app, or the Discord mobile app, definitely has audio issues. It's only been this way for years. I don't know why they won't fix it. Everyone has the same issues, whether they're on an Apple or an Android, so it's just not up to snuff. So
I clicked on Exclave, and it says roles, it says verified. And it says by who verified it. I'm not going to mention the person's name. I'm assuming that this person is Benoit.
Benoit.
I'm sorry, Benoit. But that's not his real name because I see a different name there, and I'm assuming that's his real name.
Yeah, he used to use Jareth. No secret.
I'm saying whoever approved me, his name starts with a C.
I don't know. I don't even know how you can see that. Where do you see that? That's something
I click on Exclave.
Yeah.
And it says roles, and it says verified.
Yeah.
And next to the verified, there's a green circle, and it has the name. Should I just say the name?
Oh, Craig.
Yeah.
Oh, right. What that is, well, you have a Craig role. Okay, what Craig is a bot. Craig is a bot that records audio.
Gotcha.
If you are in an audio channel, or including this one, you could invoke Craig. That gives you permission to invoke Craig.
So I can start a recorder. I can start talking and just hit Craig.
Well, we got to type in a command. You got to go in the bot command text channel, and then you got to invoke the bot.
Okay.
The way you invoke the bot, I believe, I never use it, but if you wanted to use it, I believe it's :Craig:, and that invokes the bot. And
what, do you type that in the message spot?
Well, yeah, I have a message text channel called bot command.
I see that. Mm-hmm.
You can do it in any channel. It's just easier if it's all in one channel. That way it makes the place a little neater.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go in there, I think that's what you type. :Craig:, and I can't remember what else. Every bot has a help. So if you can't figure it out, you just type, you invoke the bot and type help, ? Or if you're a technical guy, you'll figure it out. You can just search online and find.
Oh, you don't have to worry. I'm just curious. I'm just never doing this again.
Oh,
crazy.
Yes, you are. You're going to come back all the time.
No.
It's easy. I don't know why you're stubborn about it, man.
I'm a Mac guy. On the Mac, everything makes sense
Mac,
and intuitive.
Mac. This is independent of the platform. This is the Discord platform.
Mm-hmm. It's so awesome that they took it away from you.
Well, Microsoft took it over. They'll make a real mess of it, I think.
Right, like they did with Skype.
Well, the only thing that I don't know if you can still do with Skype. I remember when it first came out, you could find different people in different countries. You could search countries and just find people online and just talk to them.
Not anymore.
I didn't do that much, but it was a neat feature. And actually, I used the... Hold on a sec. I just got an email from John LeBlanc. Get ready for the Marcus Allen experience. What the hell is that? I can download that for free.
What, do you make a video?
No, he sent an email out. I'm on his email list.
What is the Marcus Allen experience?
Well, that's a recording you must have done.
Yeah, I got the same email a couple weeks back.
Is it spam? Should I just delete it?
I would.
No, it's a conversation you had with him. Marcus.
So I don't understand what's going on here. I thought at 4:00 Benoit was doing a recording.
Well, he obviously didn't show up. He obviously met a girl and is ravaging her as we speak.
Nice.
Well, what would you do?
I would definitely take that option over talking to you guys, no doubt.
No doubt.
Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, I would. Hey, Critical Thinker, what would you do? Would you show up here and talk about fakery and fakeology with a bunch of older people? Or would you do what comes natural to a man?
I only come here when I've got nothing else to do.
Me too. It's too bad I almost
couldn't
always
have said it better myself.
Yeah. I was actually listening to you guys chat today, and I don't know. Heard Benoit make a date for now, so I thought I'd try and chime in as well.
And is this being recorded? How do I know when it's recorded? Is there a little light that goes on? Or
it's got the audio streamer in the chat.
You're not only recording, you're broadcasting live at fake11.com/radio2 or /stream2.
Well, how do I know, how can I tell on the screen that it's being recorded?
Well, you can't, because this is my own bot. The audio streamer is my own bot, something I set up. So that thing, if you're in this channel, you know you're recording and being broadcast.
And what, is there anything I can do to convince you to turn off that damn silencer thing?
No, because that's the guy beside me.
No. I'm saying that gets rid of the gaps. Is there anything I can do to convince you to stop doing that?
Oh, I see. What don't you like about it? I thought it was brilliant.
Oh, it's terrible. It gets rid of all the nuance of a pause. I mean, I pause on purpose.
And
like
there.
So that you are paying attention to the things that are important, and when you get rid of that, it loses the nuance. What does it save, like 2 minutes?
Well, first of all, the only way I can get it to work. No, there's no way we can do that. That's impossible. If you want nuanced conversation, you have to come to the regular showtime, which has better audio anyway.
Right.
This is just a rough, loose coffee house drop-in center for fakeologist nut bars that are bored, just want to shoot the crap, argue, fight, insult each other. It's just fun. It's like a bar. We even get drunks in this bar.
Yeah, yeah, I know about that.
There's a lot of great nuance in the unrecorded chat.
Oh, 14 minutes in so far. Am I impressed? I don't know.
Well, you're doing it.
You
want to
come back?
Oh yeah, you'll be back. It's not. You don't come for the. You come for the people. Come on, Marcus.
There's Benoit.
Oh, you better ask him why. Why is he late?
I don't care about that.
Yes, you did.
Depends on who it is.
Benoit, why are you late? You pissed off Marcus.
Not true. Making shit up now.
Come on. Where is he? Come on, Marcus. I mean, come on, Benoit. Come on now. Don't be shy. Okay, you got fake ache. See, this is what happens in the audio chat. You get people just pouring in. So fake ache just joined us. Hi, fake ache.
Hello. Well, I just swung by here to say hi to Marcus as well because I sent him a mail today.
Oh, that was you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, wrote you right back. Yep.
Yeah. So.
Fake Ache, Marcus doesn't like the audio chat. He doesn't like Discord. He hates the pause deletion. What can we tell him?
But he's used to having things more structured, I think.
Yeah.
He has his notes and an agenda and wants to go in a certain direction. And that's really, really good. I really enjoy those conversations you two have. But this is more of a free-form thing to enjoy the company of people that are on a similar level, I think.
I mean, like, Tim, when we do the calls, it's usually just you and me.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get one extra person. Last night we had two. That's why you're like, hey, what do you want to talk about? I'm like, no, I just want to listen because I know as soon as four people start talking, it's a shit show. It's like, it's crazy.
Well, yeah. in a way, you're right.
Definitely,
like,
you're right.
My wife will not listen to these side chats unless it's just one or two people.
I get it, yeah. Well,
so, like, it actually turns her away.
Well, this is bonus material, quite frankly. This is bonus material, yeah. I don't even like being in some of these chats. But I show up because... Go ahead, Fakey.
No,
that was me.
Oh, sorry, Chris.
It's different. Yeah, listening to chats, it's always better if it's structured two or three people.
Yeah.
But being involved in a chat like this is different because it's much more, just throwing it across the room back and forth, and lots of random things come up. That's great. But,
lot of people don't like joining a formal chat because they think they have to perform. But people that come in here, they know, we don't worry about your content. We just want to say hi, have a Long Island iced tea with you virtually. And there's no pressure for you to perform and say something profound. You can just say hello and like your stuff. And that's it. That's fine. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about, really. And I like hearing voices mm-hmm. as opposed to people just typing messages. Because voices are at least another dimension, yeah.
There it is.
And why? You're late.
Yes, I am a bit late, but less than expected. For someone that is not drinking, your drinks reference are on point. Long Island iced tea, it's a great drink.
That's right.
Actually, bartenders will tell you it's the stupidest drink on the planet. They don't like serving them because the lowest rung of drinks, and people just do it because they're cheap.
Oh, what's in it anyway? Iced tea, I guess?
No, it's like five different rum and a bunch of other alcohols that, it's the low rung alcohol, the low rack alcohol. When I was in college, that was how I got through college. I was able to have one or two of those, and then boom, it was wasted. And you can eat at all you can eat wings at the place we go to. I was out of there for like 15, 20 bucks.
You're saying you're cheap.
Oh, not anymore. I mean, when I was in college, I didn't have a choice, but now I'm the opposite. I ever look for discounts. I like to pay full price for things, not because I have a lot of money, but because there's always a string attached when you get stuff on a discount. You know, if everyone gets a discount, that means the business isn't going to make any money. They're going to go out of business. And now with Corona, we've seen, oh my gosh, so many businesses going out of business. It's crazy.
Quality over quantity thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I was enjoying your optimism. Which folded before Corona. I helped people get a lease car for like 50% less on their payment. And it was like, at the end of the day, it's like, well, okay, that's nice and all, but like, how is that helping the world? It's not. It's like, you know, so I don't mind paying full price at all for stuff. But I don't like getting ripped off either. Like I would never get a Mercedes Benz ever. I drive two exact same cars, Volvo XC40s. It's the best deal on a car ever. I know you like the minivan. You like that one too. It's a great car for the money, what you drive and what I drive.
I absolutely love my van. I have two of them. It is so smooth. It's ridiculous. It's the vehicle that Lee Iacocca, who supposedly saved Chrysler, he said everyone would be driving this kind of vehicle in 2005 or something, I think is what he said.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support. Money.
That's another feature of the audio chat. Every 20 minutes, it breaks in with an interruption.
You interrupted the interruption. That's so funny. You know what's interesting, Tim? I didn't know that plays in stereo, because when you listen to it, it's a mono. That's interesting.
I didn't know that either.
You really don't listen to your own stuff, do you?
I thought everything was mono.
No, that was in stereo.
Okay. Well, I set the channel off in mono, so if you got it in stereo, then you've got some whiz-bang software there. Must be because it's an Apple.
It's a website.
I have no idea. That should have been... I know Pink Floyd is usually in stereo, but I always put all my audio into mono just to save bandwidth for the cheap buggers that don't have a lot of data. I actually degrade the audio a lot. The file is small, especially when it's an 8-hour file. I don't feel like chopping it up. That way you can get...
That's in the stream, it would be stereo. In your files that you compress, it would be mono.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
the Bella set would have made that bumper in stereo, which has come through. Yeah,
maybe. You're right. Maybe. Did he make that one? Hey. Yeah, he made that one. Yeah, you're right. I made the latest one. I can't remember what the song's name is.
Listening to you guys chat earlier, Marcus, I was going to say, I think a couple of people mentioned it to you, but your optimism on the flow of things at the moment.
I was doing a show.
I don't think Marcus can hear me, right?
Marcus, can you hear Critical Thinker?
Can't hear anyone but you.
You never heard Fake Ache or Critical Thinker?
No, I did. Yeah, I heard Fake Ache, yeah.
Okay, Critical Thinker is going to talk to you now. He's complimented you three times. I think he's going to stop.
Yeah, I have, actually. I like to hear him. Are you hearing me?
I can't hear anything right now.
Okay, there you go.
Why do you say you can't hear anything when he said, can you hear me?
So you can hear him, but I can't hear him.
Okay, I'm going to say, Critical Thinker, how are you? Go ahead.
Thanks, how are you?
Okay, I'm fine. Did you hear me talk to Critical Thinker there, Exclave?
I did. It's Mark. I did. I heard you say something, but I didn't hear him say anything.
Okay, you might have muted him by mistake. If you right-click him, See if you muted him by accident. I muted people by accident because I was trying to turn their volume down, and then the mute button's right beside the volume, and I muted them, and I couldn't figure it out for a while either. You must have muted him.
Benoit is muted.
Yeah.
Force Value is muted. Yeah. See, Fake Ick is not. I see you, and then I see Critical Sinker and not muted.
No, but that's him muting himself. You may have muted him. Yeah.
He needs to click on, for example, click on my name, and then
you right
he would
click
need to click on my name, and then yeah, there's a volume on mute.
I've right-clicked, and I don't see any option for muting him.
My guess is that it's a technical difficulty, and what you should do is leave and come back,
yeah,
because that tends to happen. I have all type of issues with all type of different settings and devices.
Fortunately, I'm on the web as opposed to software, so I'm going to refresh the page and see what happens.
Huh.
Yeah.
You should stay in the page.
I've run out of compliments now, so.
Yeah. I think he's joking. I think he heard every compliment, and he was just milking you for more. He just wanted to keep you, he wanted you to repeat yourself.
I'm back, and I'm not, I don't like compliments, so. Seriously, I don't like them. So.
You don't like them?
It wasn't a compliment.
Okay, I think I got an idea.
Now.
Why don't you insult Marcus? See if he hears this. Go ahead.
Actually, I love insults.
Can you insult Marcus now? I guarantee he'll hear it.
I think you can hear me now.
I can hear you now.
There we go. Anyway, nice to speak with you. It was more, talking about your optimism when you were speaking to, I think, Ab and Benoit yesterday. And, just what you're seeing around you and online and whatnot. And, yeah, I'm trying to keep a similar view at the moment, and it's always good hearing it from someone like yourself as well.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't know how long you've been listening to me for, but I've been like this for donkey's years, as Alan Watt likes to say, and everyone likes to put me down and saying that I'm being unrealistic. But as I said last night, ever since 2016 in the spring, I've seen a sea change, and I'm super pumped. With my membership, the members tell me that, I got to stop saying I'm super pumped because we're in a climate where, people are really struggling. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I totally get it. And maybe I'm a little tone deaf, but I go to this bar. They just asked about me again last night. I was working on a video or I would have gone. And the entire bar is awake. They talk about 9/11. I mean, I'm just like pinching myself. I mean, because 5 years ago, that I would be the only wacko guy talking about 9/11.
Do you sense these are cultural things as far as the States and, possibly other parts in the world? Do you think there's a culture thing to this?
No. Do you?
To a degree, yeah, to a degree. I'm in the UK, and it's, it's a certain type of compliancy that's bred here.
I mean, look at the UK. They're the ones who have the biggest protests, right?
London does, but that's about 40% British in London as far as population. The rest is sort of multicultural. But yeah, I think that's probably got a lot to do with it, though.
There are no protests here in the States. I can tell you that.
What your experience is a better protest as far as it being normal.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Maybe what you're experiencing is even a better way of protesting anyway, as far as the normalcy.
I think Marcus. We have another more conservative party. We have many parties in Canada, political parties. And the one political party that if I had to vote, I would side with them. Their leader was just arrested today in Manitoba for protesting. Now, a lot of people think he's a grifter or controlled opposition, an opportunist, but Manitoba is the middle province of Canada. It's the most tyrannical. They got a real kooky premier, which is like a governor. And apparently in the last hour, he was just arrested for I don't know what. Because they're making up charges that are really, really spurious. In other words, they're really stretching any definition of any law. So those kind of stories kind of get me down. So you're up because you're maybe in a better area. But in Canada, we're just hearing all these stories of people being arrested and locked up and pre-crimes. And I still think...
So maybe jail is the place to be right now. In jail you will meet the best people around. Maybe it's how it is,
I
would enjoy being in a camp or in jail, but who knows what will happen in the future.
First of all, they're throwing Kevin J. Johnson in solitary confinement. I don't think anyone would like that for more than 20 minutes.
Yes, and speaking of jail, I don't know if you are aware of that, but I think that it's a fake event. But someone slapped the French president in the face 2 days ago,
that.
I think. And the guy was sentenced to 4 months of direct jail time and 14 more months optional. I don't believe that this story is true.
In under 24 hours? What do you got? In
less than 48
court?
Hours. No,
wow,
that is something that's the disposition of the French law, and it's called comparution immediate, and it is used mainly for expediting the current affair quickly, and like, for example, it was mainly used against football supporters, you know, to start some riots on the street, and they get you under comparution immediate, comparison.
Isn't France under Napoleonic law, where you're guilty?
Not really.
No?
No, I don't think
wasn't
so.
Wasn't Napoleon French? I got my wrong
yes,
country?
Yes, he was. No, he was, but it has been rewritten, and everything has been changed.
That's kind
of
why I'm afraid of Mexico, because Mexico has Napoleonic law. So if you get arrested, you got to prove you didn't do it. Stupid.
Definitely. So basically my point is that it's probably a controlled, at least controlled event, because don't those people do some massive background check on everyone that is approaching this type of people? It's probably something to have some sympathy from the public.
Well, Bill Gates got a pie in the face. I like that. I think that was real.
Yes, I can think that it was real. It could be fake, but the guy is famous for doing that, and he has now a kind of organization. And he did that not only to Bill Gates, but to many, many people. Most of them will be unknown to you because they are in the French-speaking sphere. But the name of the guy is Noël Godard. And Noël Godard is known as the L'Entarteur, which means the pyre, if you want.
A pyre. He better start his gig up again.
I'm sure that some of those people are aware that he's around. And the last time it wasn't even him, it was some activist that kind of revendicated the fact that they were with the guy and that it was the good way to protest. So it's something that is happening in Europe, and it's not only the fact of the guy, but he was the guy that started it. And he did Bill Gates, which is probably the most famous of them all.
Okay.
So you're going to be over here soon, Benoit?
By Tuesday. God willing, everything will be all right and I will be able to travel. If not, I will be in for about $2,200. Non-refundable, but that's all life is.
I think you can get through the travel. It's just, raise your vibration on your way through and you'll get through it.
I think I will go through. I'm not worried. The thing is that it's incumbent on the fact that I can provide a negative test result. That's the only hiccup if there is one. So I don't think it's much of a worry, but that's the last obstacle, if you want.
So just so you know, Marcus, we have, this is going out live, and according to my program, we have 3 live listeners now, one in the UK, one in Australia, and one in Virginia. And I know one of them. I know who one of them is. So shout out to SMJ. Hey, Forest Value, how you been?
Good, man.
Hey, Forest Valley, if you're talking, you're not coming through.
Yeah, I'm in a noisy environment, so I'm not going to leave my mic open. I'm just listening to now. Do you mind if I lurk on this channel, or do you want me to bail and go today?
I don't mind. You can do whatever you want. when people are in the room, I tend to try and be polite and just see if they want to talk, that's all. But the format is you just start talking. You don't have to ask for permission. Just start talking.
All right. If I get somewhere settled where it's, I got better audio, I'll open
that's
it up
fine.
And pipe up. But I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen for that.
No problem, Farce. Farce is a quality human. If I ever move to Florida, I'll meet up with Farce. Say hi. Marcus, you can chime in any time. There's no format to this. Don't be shy.
No, I tried to, and I asked you if you didn't think you were living in solitary confinement.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, so, of course you are, and so we all are. We're all living on our heads right now.
I know,
but
if you were in a...
Who do we talk to?
If you were in a box, though, and with a steel bed and a steel toilet without a lid, that's not what I'm living in. I can still eat what I want, rest when I want, type when I want, call when I want. There's a big difference, Marcus.
Yeah, but I don't think jail's... First of all, it's prison. Jail is temporary. Prison's
yeah,
long
he
term.
Is. No, I know. He's in jail. He's in the remand center.
For three
trying,
weeks?
Yes, he said he's trying... They're denying him a bail hearing. Listen, mm-hmm. he called the premier all kinds of rude names, and I thought, well, even if the premier is all those things, you calling the guy out, I'm another man... And I have power, and he has power. You better believe that even if he is a big pussy, he's going to call someone to screw you up.
So where are all the why aren't his snowflakes, you know, listeners going, you know, like, you know, going to the premier's house?
I agree. I thought the same thing.
Are you sure this is a real character?
Right.
Well, I'm always suspicious, but yeah, I'm... He's saying a lot of, yeah, I think he is. Now, have I been
is it,
before? Yeah.
Is it making the media circles?
No. Have you heard of the guy? I've looked it up. He's ignored. That's a good sign.
Yeah, no. I've only heard of him through you, yeah.
No, he has his own show, and his crew is doing the show without him. And actually, it's actually sometimes a better show without him.
The show must go on.
Well... They are talking about him, and this is what's happening in Canada.
Can't they take their cell phone and surround the jail and come on?
I agree. I agree. Get on his channel tonight and start asking all these questions. He streams on about 10 platforms, so yeah, definitely.
But like, I'm ready for like Stripe is my payment provider. I'm ready for them to cut me off.
Right.
Once things get crazy. I literally have every single Stripe address from the product developer to the senior vice president of, you know, design. I have every single Stripe address. When they shut me off, I'm going to hit my list. I'm going to be like, everyone bomb Stripe.com and tell them to put the damn merchant account back up. I mean, I'm ready to go with them.
Yeah.
I'm not even close to having my merchant account taken away. I don't know. With someone, it sounds like he has a lot of people who listen to him, right?
But definitely, I would say so. He's running for mayor of Calgary.
Yeah, so put out the call and say, guys, surround the prison. I've just doxed the guy who did this. Go to his house. Drive 5 miles an hour around his house. It'll drive him nuts.
Well, the guy did live stream his arrest, or someone, or one of the supporters live streamed it. It's on. You can find it. So I don't know if they know the name of the cop. Did you know that, well, I put it on my blog, and Marcus, you read my blog. It looks like they have a special unit just to go after protesters, and it's usually the same gang that's protesting. And it looks like they got a British guy leading the unit because the protest guys were saying, we're gonna sue or in common law court, or we're going to... to a civil lawsuit against these cops that are breaking their oath. And one of the cops definitely sounded like a fresh British accent. And they were speculating it's a tactic. They just bring these cops in for short stints, fly back home.
It could be UN related, like the UN forces that are being deployed.
Well, I just think they're swapping Five Eyes Nations cops. So
there's
a couple of Canadian cops over there. They brought a couple, hold on.
Hi, this is Heroes.
Purple Play.
Fluidic Blue Now.
Emerald Equator.
The Asarian.
Trioptica. For Science.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Dude, that was in stereo too. All your bumpers are in stereo, Tim.
Okay, yeah, in the live stream for sure.
Ellison did that. He's a good man. I can't hear it because I have one earpiece, but I believe you. That's a good bumper. This is what's going on. You guys are not getting this, Marcus. That's why you're optimistic. We're getting smacked.
No. I wanted to extend off that. I'm not optimistic because of the people around me. And we've said this last night, and people said this in the comments, email I just got today, same thing. What we're seeing in what I call artificial life, you know, out there, is completely different than what we're seeing online. I'm optimistic because this was supposed to start in 2025. It's now 2020. Everything is falling apart. The vaccine thing is falling apart. A week before, everyone forgets this, a week before they dropped the mask thing, it's probably going to be the new CDC director who's taken over Fauci, that woman from Boston. She's like, this is never going to end. I have nightmares of what, you know, she had all these things that were going to get worse, and then it got better. There's a lot of things that I'm optimistic. I just think it's falling apart. I'm not optimistic by the United States citizens at all. If I were going based on that, I'd be very depressed right now.
Yeah.
Because we have people still, like I said last week when I spoke to you, Tim, we have people in Pennsylvania. They say you don't have to wear a mask, wearing a mask in their car by themselves still.
Yeah.
Double mask.
With a face shield.
With a face shield and a bandana around their eyes. I mean, it's crazy. You know, it has nothing to do with the people who live here. It's what I'm seeing online, and when I dig and talk to people, they agree with me, and they're like, I'm scared. I'm afraid to lose my job. I'm afraid that my mom is going to get mad at me if I say the truth. They're scared. Okay, well, that's a fixable problem. You can fix that. Mm-hmm. With momentum and videos and repetition. That's the thing that we're lacking. We're lacking all the things that they're doing to us. We're not doing it back. Yeah. We need to do it back.
Agreed.
Repetition, if I had to pick one of them, the repetition of certainty is the key. That's what they keep telling to us. Hey, if you want to go back to normal, this is what we need to do. And they repeat the message over and over again. We need to counter that with repetition of our own certainty. Hey, if you want to go back to normal, this is what not to do. I listen to David Knight. Say what you will about the guy who used to be on Alex Jones. I mean, he makes some really good points. One of the points he made just an hour ago is that he never talks about the virus. He's like, I'm not going to give any credence to talking about whether the virus is man-made, whether it's not. No, I'm going to talk about the fact that there is no plandemic.
That's right.
That's what we need to, and that's a great message to grab onto. Anyone with eyes to see and ears to hear, as they say in the Bible, will look around. No one is dropping dead.
See, my experience with that is when I confront people is when they're living in so much fear of what's going on in their world and trying to counter that with that sort of perception of look around you. You know, there is no pandemic. You're fine. You're healthy. I'm healthy. We're under a spell here. I find most times it gets met with, I've come in with the bad news rather than the good news. And I wonder how to get over that hurdle is something I'm facing at the moment.
I don't know how to get over the hurdle.
Yeah.
Let's just say hi to we have a new voice, Prince Pepe. Prince Pepe, hello?
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good, Prince Pepe. Am I saying your name right?
Yeah, actually, most people say Prince Pepe or something like I'm French or something. But no, yeah. It's...
Welcome to Fakeologist, and where are you all from, and who are you? By the way, you're live and you're being recorded.
Oh, okay, great. Should I be worried about that?
only if you don't like the sound of your own voice.
Yeah, well, who does, right?
Yeah, we never sound as good because we don't echo through our own head when it comes through an external speaker. Okay, exactly. Where are you all from, and should we call you Prince Pepe?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Where are you all from?
I'm from Jersey.
Ah.
Oh. Great well, pizza town.
Oh, yeah.
You got the famous Marcus Allen on the line. He could probably triangulate.
That.
Oh, you know Marcus Allen?
Yeah, well, I used to listen. I only have ever listened to podcasts on the Apple Podcast program.
Yeah.
So that's it. I mean, I've never spoken to any of you in person.
You just went up in value in Marcus's eyes, I think, because you're an Apple person. Okay. Marcus can only hear insults, so would you like to insult him?
I used to have a Windows phone, but that was a long time ago. And on a Windows phone, I listened to some podcasts at one time, but I can't remember the app I used. But then when I got the iPhone, I can't stop listening to podcasts. I'm addicted to podcasts.
Well, you came to the right place.
That's funny because I just deleted my podcasts. I'm done with podcasts. I'm done listening. The only one, Tim, I listen to is yours. That's it. No others.
Well, I'm on.
Even like day or night, I'm ready to get rid of it. Boom.
Oh, I have a whole list. I have a whole list of...
So who's your favorite one to listen to?
Well, I have a few. I used to be really hooked on Greg...
Carwood,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now I listen to Tim. I listen to No Agenda. But when Hostbusters Call was there... I used to listen to that like religiously. When there was a new one, I would always listen to a new one.
Yeah. What do you think happened to that guy?
I don't know. It is very strange. The story is very strange. Aren't you going to ask me like how I get into this? How I got into this?
How'd you get into this, dude?
Yeah. You know the script, huh?
Yeah.
You know the script,
answer it. Well, I heard a show the other day, and some guy named Steve got on, and I'm like, well, man, I wonder if I got on, what would they ask me? So I started thinking about it.
Oh, good. Well,
I don't know. I think about it a lot sometimes, maybe too much. But when I was a kid, I watched Scooby-Doo a lot.
Oh, me too.
And I was always into, like, solving the mystery. I mean, I wasn't always right, but, you know, I always waited for that, you know, last part where he said, if it wasn't for you meddling kids, I'd have gotten away with it, too. You know?
Well, here's a clue. It was always the guy at the beginning of the show that introduced the gang to the problem. It's always him, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So then I watched, and I didn't really watch too much. I listened. I used to have a TV radio, and I worked late nights. And I always had it tuned in to Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh.
I love that show.
Did they ever solve any of the mysteries?
Well, I guess it sounded like they were solved, but not all of them were solved, no. I would say they were unsolved. That was the title, right? That was the premise?
Yeah. Robert Stack.
But, yeah, I mean, and then something happened around 2017, and I know you guys have been around before then.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, let me tell you what happened to me on 9/11.
Okay.
I did not see a plane. I mean, I saw planes in the sky, but I did not see a plane connect with the building, I have to say, to be honest.
Were you an eyewitness?
I watched the second blast.
Wow.
I wasn't in New York City. I was in Weehawken, so I was pretty much safely away from it to view it. And I remember distinctly being outside in the parking lot of where I worked, and there was another gentleman standing ahead of me in this parking lot, And we were watching.
Israeli?
I'm sorry?
Was he a dancing Israeli?
No. No, he wasn't dancing. He was actually the one of the building consultants. He worked for Cushman, actually. And he was ahead of me. I never had a conversation with him about it. So I can't even answer that question if it comes up. But I remember viewing the smoke coming from the first building, which was the North Tower. Am I right?
I think so.
Yeah.
And,
well,
and,
we got Mizum. Mizum from Switzerland here. Hello, Mizum. Thank you for that.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Prince, how old were you on 9/11?
Oh, well, in my 30s. I have to go back a few years.
Yes,
it's, yeah, I would say 36, right? Because it's 20 years ago already.
You're old like us.
Yeah, I am. But I really love listening to you guys, I just want to say. And
Thank you very much. I
do it as a selfish reason, too, because I find that I am totally misunderstood. I feel like I'm alone in my thoughts and beliefs. And you guys are there to, like, be my podcast friends. You know what I mean? It's, like, it's really weird.
Would you have Long Island iced tea if we came to New Jersey?
Yeah, definitely. I can think of a few places we would go, too.
Oh, may I put some questions to Prince?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
This is the audio chat. We could go anywhere. That's what
you
love about it.
You were discussing something else, but now we have an eyewitness of 9/11, and I'm really curious. You said that you watched the whatever explosion of the South Tower.
First, I want to say the reason why I brought it up is because I wanted to mention that the first thing my wife said to me, after the blast or anything, but when we got home, because we had to come home and pick up our kid, my son was in a Jewish school at the time, or at least it was owned by the people that had it as a Jewish temple at one time. But it was a daycare that he stayed in. He was only like 5 years old, 5 or 6 years old. And we had to come home really early, so they let us get out of work. Because they had to evacuate anything that was Jewish. I don't know if you guys remember that, right?
I hear this for the first time, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Around here, it was like anything that had anything to do with a Jewish temple had to be evacuated immediately on 9/11. So I got to say, it was maybe 10:30 when I was already, you know, on my way back home, or at least thinking about coming back home from where I was. And there was, you know, there was some traffic. That did take me a while to get there, but eventually I got there. But anyway, the reason I was bringing this up is because the first thing my wife said to me when we had a moment alone was, the government did this. And I always thought that was so profound of her, because we've never had any kind of conversation like that before any of that, or before anything else, actually. And then, you know, it wasn't totally dismissed from my mind that she had said that and it had meant so much to me, but it was just something that we didn't elaborate on it any further. It was just something that she said and something that I agreed with, and it just turned into something that we, you know, that made sense to both of us. But then everything else happened, like the voting on, you know, fighting in Iraq, and all of that happened, you know, right in front of us, where all the, you know, all the Democrats, all the Republicans, everybody just voted yes to go to war with Afghanistan and Iraq. And then Bush showed all those like 12 countries that were enemies of the world, terrorist countries.
Isn't that the
same? I figured he was going to go to war with each one of those eventually.
Yeah, but isn't it, now that you were talking about the Republicans and the Democrats voting to go to war, it's the same phenomenon we have today, that everyone from left to far right, far left to far right, agree that we all have to inject ourselves with some gene therapy. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I'm sorry?
Do you see this analogy or similarity?
Absolutely, I agree with you 100%.
May I ask you if you could describe as good and simple as you can what you really saw with your eyes concerning the blast, I mean? How big
okay.
it was?
From the view that I had, It always appeared to me as a fireball coming out of the side that I was staring at. And I had already always imagined that if it was the airplane would have had to have done a U-turn somewhere and would have entered the building from the side that I couldn't see. You see what I'm saying? If I was looking at one of the four sides of the building, that obviously wasn't the side that it flew into. And neither are the two sides, you know, to my left and right. So it would have had to have been the side that was opposite, you know, out of my view. But it just didn't make sense to me. It would have had to have flown over the city, because I did see a plane flying over the city. And then it would have had to have made a U-turn. But it wasn't until I started hearing the no plane theory on your show and other shows that I started to think, well, you know, those pictures never looked like planes to me. They looked like shadows. You could see a plane now in the sky, and not for nothing, but that was the clearest day. That was the clearest day ever. I got to say, that was out of all of that year. Weather-wise, that day was a beautiful day.
Just for clarification, Prince Pepe, in the movie or in the filmic material, the alleged second plane allegedly enters the building from the direction of south. Is that correct? Geographical south. And the view you had was geographically east, do I get that right?
I would say not entirely geographically east. It would be east, yes, but it would be southeast.
Yes, southeast, okay. Get it.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
And another question I have, if I may, were you expecting, why were you looking there? Were you looking at the tower that was allegedly burning?
Correct.
Okay. And you were surprised when this explosion or whatever blast occurred?
Yeah, I was surprised. And the gentleman that I said was in front of me immediately upon seeing the blast, the second one, started running towards, you know, towards me, but really just past me. And he kept saying, we're under attack, we're under attack. And again, I never spoke to him again about it. In fact, I never saw him again. I remember his name, but I'd rather not use it. I don't know what he felt about what he saw. But looking back, the more I think of it, that plane could not have made a U-turn. It just doesn't make any sense.
Did you see the buildings go down?
Yes and no. I was inside trying to, you know, contact certain people because my daughter was was in New York City at the time going to a college, and I was, you know, concerned with like her whereabouts. So I had it on 1010 Winds, you know, the news. And when I did hear that the buildings went down. And I went outside and there were a bunch of people from my department that were saying, oh, building one just went down or building two. Because the second one that got hit went down first, right? But no, I can't say I actually saw it come down. No.
But what was the point of view when you realized that one building was disappeared? Could you see
I could see the second building still there, but it was very hard to see anything because of the smoke.
So you could not see if there were two buildings or only one. There was too much smoke?
I would say, yeah, I could see that there was one building.
Ah, okay, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that I caught it before the second one, fell. But it's all, that part is sketchy, because I got to say I was in and outside of the building trying to secure, what I was going to do about my daughter. My daughter ended up staying the rest of the week at a family member's house in Long Island. So that was, kind of crazy for us. She lived with us at the time, and we didn't even go back and pick her up until the following week.
May I contact you for further questions for my data collection and testimonies? Even if they aren't 100%, because it's so much time, etc. But I would like to have, for example, the point of view exactly where you were. What building was it? What street? So that it can be, let's say, verified that you had this point of view, so that I can include it in my database with your pseudonym, Prince Pepe.
Okay.
Would that be okay for you?
Yeah. I didn't realize that I was going to, become so celebrated about it. I just...
It's kind of a big deal that you were there.
Really?
Good interrogation.
Why? Why is that? Because you guys weren't?
Well, yeah, and the only other people that come to this forum with that kind of testimony are usually quite suspicious.
Oh, okay. I hope I'm not suspicious. I know that Marcus is pretty good at pointing those people out.
Marcus
he's
suspicious.
I said before, it's kind of sketchy because I was in and out, and pretty much, I was told by some people in the department, the building went down. And then the next time I came out again, the other one came down already, so. But...
I understand that you were mostly concerned about your daughter and your children, etc., and your other people. That's absolutely normal, I think. I find it especially interesting that you say that you watched this explosion that allegedly happened, the blast.
Yeah.
I would like actually to ask you if you could compare what you saw with the images on television or print media, and if you think it was the same thing that you saw, if you can differentiate it, of course, in your memory.
Well, like I said, I agree with you guys when I say I didn't see a plane, although I did see planes in the sky. I remember there being one right above me that looked like a fighter jet or something at one point. But again, that was after, And what is funny is also when I was walking up to my apartment, that's when I first heard that there was something going on. And I was crossing the bridge of this building that no longer, it's a bridge for two buildings to connect. That bridge is no longer there, and neither is one of the buildings. But I was crossing that bridge, and I heard someone on the phone, which I heard later on he was on the phone with his wife, and he is saying that his wife's saying that there was an explosion. Didn't say anything necessarily about a plane, but still, it was all, in the beginning, it was very sketchy about that anyhow. But then after that is when, you know, I went outside to see what he was talking about, to see, you know, what was going on. There was smoke and everything that they were saying, all this. And then, you know, I went out and I actually saw it for myself. Get where I was going with that.
I think you were talking about the period between the alleged first attack and the alleged second attack, when you heard about something was going on, but it was very sketchy, or nobody knew. And this fits actually to the narrative that the media presented, where it was not clear until the second quote-unquote plane and attack that
right. It
became more clear that it was an attack. In the previous time, it was very sketchy on purpose, because they had to cover up that so many people could have seen something, but since nobody was sure that something was happening at all, nobody could verify it afterwards. So you were talking, I think, about this 20 minutes or what it was, 18 minutes.
And I mean, what I saw was basically how I described it, but I've never brought it up to anybody, and I've never actually thought that there were no planes. That thought never even crossed my mind, that that could be possible. It had to be something that I failed to see. And that what I was seeing on TV was real, you know, all this time. And then I started listening to you guys, and mostly John LeBon when he would come on your show. And I mean, it still bothers me, the part that, you know, nobody died, nobody cried. I mean, I know somebody that supposedly worked there, but of course I can't verify that. I hadn't seen him for maybe a couple of months before I realized somebody told me, oh yeah, so-and-so had, you know, transferred and found a job over there.
May I go
back? Marcus could ask a few questions. World leading skeptic before John LeBon was a skeptic.
What's that? I'm sorry, I could barely hear what you said.
I think maybe Marcus could ask you a couple questions, because he's a bit of a 9/11 specialist.
Yeah.
He's a specialist as well.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that doesn't concern me, but I mean, if there's anybody I want to get through, you know, a question from, it would be Marcus.
I don't understand. I'm confused.
Yeah. Hi, Marcus.
Hey, Meesum, can you, Faye, can you mute yourself, because it's like you're really
super
loud. Okay, great. Let me turn my volume up now so I can hear. Holy shit, that was hard. Okay. No,
Marcus, you can turn individual users down by right-clicking them. I know you can. So if someone's loud, you can turn them down. It does happen. It's very hard, yeah.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Okay.
Yeah, she was kind of loud for me, too.
I totally believe what he's saying. I mean, Weehawken is pretty sure that's near the direct east, as you're going to see the Empire State Building, Central Park.
Correct.
Approximately. So when you said you were looking southeast, you were looking more towards, like, if you were Jersey City would be due east also. There's nothing, actually, this is like news. This is big news, dude, because I've never, all my investigation of 9/11, I've spoken to someone who saw what has happened until just now.
See?
Really? I never would have guessed that I would have been the one, to be honest.
The only person who I regularly talk to is Dante. I don't remember if he was in New York City, but I don't remember, and he'll get mad at me because I won't remember this. I don't remember him specifically saying he saw it happen live. I might be wrong.
Right.
Pretty sure Dante.
There is also this artist, Marcus. Have you never talked with him? What is the name of the guy?
Jesse Waugh?
Yes, Jesse Waugh was also there.
Well, he said he was, yeah.
But I do not trust that person.
Yes, of course. But I mean, there is also his testimony, and there is also Top Notch Energies, who is here. I mean, here at Fakeologist. He was also there on that morning.
At the risk of sounding like Benoit the other day when he got on the phone with Marcus, I got to say, I never imagined I'd be talking to the three of you.
See, that, but this really, but that's why I'm on this call, quite frankly. I don't get it. Like, I try super hard to be so approachable. I give out my email address. I've been giving out my email address for ever since the beginning. Listen to some of the side talks like this, and no one ever brings up my name, good or bad. It's just like,
really?
Never.
No.
The first time I got contacted,
I used to love to listen to you and oh my God, what's the gentleman's name from the Hoaxbusters call?
Chris Kendall.
Chris Kendall, yeah.
Like, why is it no one, like, just, I mean, I'm a
dude. Well, I have to be honest. I've gotten on your website a couple of times, and I'm not like a financial type person so much, and a lot of those things that you speak about are elusive to me, and I turn myself off. So I've been maybe to your site once or twice since I started listening to all these calls, but I'd much rather hear you on Tim's show or with John LeBon on Tim's show or something like that. It's just, there's this particular John LeBon show that I love to turn back to once in a while on Tim's podcast. And he does like this game show where he has a panel of people and he asks them, I can't remember exactly the questions, but I'm sure it probably, you know, to the effect of, was there a plane? Did anyone die? And things like that. And it's kind of like a ding, 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 you know, the right answer type of thing. And I love to listen back to that show every once in a while, but I haven't heard it in quite a while. And the other show that I really like was the one that on Hoaxbusters call where Jaronism calls up. Because I like to listen to Jaron a lot. I'm a flat earther.
Yes, so I lean towards that too.
I'm not afraid to say it. I know people look at me like I'm crazy, but
I don't think you're crazy at all.
Yeah, no, that's why I keep thinking I'm going to do this one day, because I want to talk to, I think it was Terrence McKenna that said, find those like-minded people, find the others, right? Like,
yeah.
That website. I don't know if it's Terrence McKenna or if he was quoting somebody else.
No,
but
I was going to ask Marcus about that, actually, before. Could I just interject and ask Marcus?
Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm cutting people off.
No. This is the audio chat. We go everywhere. But I don't like interjecting on good flows. You guys are having a good flow? But I wanted to know if Marcus, before I forgot, has ever heard of Go Find the Others. I thought that guy was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I thought we talked about that. I was shocked that we have not crossed paths. No.
Oh, yeah, you did say that. Yeah, you did.
Well, Tim is like, Tim likes to name his most favorite things. He likes to have, at least on every show that he does, he likes to name all of them as much as he can. And then when the next show starts, he names them all again. You know, it doesn't matter if you've spoken about it before. Oh,
well, I try and plug them.
It's enough. Yeah, exactly. That's what you're doing.
I try to, because
just an observation.
When I listen to podcasts, I always hear these passing comments from the host, and I think, I never heard of that. Now I got to go look it up. And sometimes they don't even explain what they're saying, so it makes it a little harder to find. But, yeah, I love it when people drop names, because then I can search it up.
No, you're absolutely true. You're absolutely right. I mean,
yeah.
I've done that. When I hear a link or something, I mean, just be, you know, on this past show that I heard when Benoit, actually, the first time he spoke with Marcus, on that show you said the fake11.com/discord, and that's what led me here today.
Yeah, and I don't.
And I've been waiting to do this all day because you said Friday,
Marcus,
and I'm like, okay,
Marcus,
let me do this on Friday.
Notes, but I don't make any show notes. I always hope someone else will do it. No one else does, of course. But yeah, I find show notes super helpful, just because otherwise you have to try and write it down yourself. Forget, and then it goes out of your mind, and the thought is gone. So yeah, show notes.
I feel like I know you guys already, just from all the times I've listened to you.
You still in Weehawken?
No, I'm nearby in North Bergen. I've never lived in Weehawken.
Oh, okay. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to go see my son, he's minutes away from you right now. He's visiting New York City at Times Square. Go say hi.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, but with
he was there all the time.
Want,
he loves New York City.
Would your son want to see a stranger that you recommend? I'm not sure that's a great idea.
It depends.
Hi, I'm just a stranger that knows your dad.
I don't even really know him.
Yeah.
He doesn't hate that. He hates the fact that people like...
Hey, guys, am I too German if I have another question about 9/11?
Go ahead, miss. Go ahead. I just want to get my... Yeah,
go ahead. Peppy, it's only one question, and only if you can remember in that stuff. The view that you had was... I don't know, in the first half hour or something, or in the first hour. Would you say that the southern tip, or what is it called, of Manhattan was covered in smoke so that you could not see anything further if you were in Manhattan? Was it completely covered where the buildings disappeared? Was the city disappeared?
Oh, not the whole city, no. There were parts of the city that I could see. I mean, if you just went by... That was another thing, too. We didn't even go by the river too much because it was terrible smell, and we were afraid of the particles and everything. I know I've heard that some of my friends may have gone down there to actually, like, do some recovery work. I've spoken to, you know, I've mentioned it. They've mentioned it to me, but I've never even considered.
This is Without a Trace, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
We're going to have banners cutting in like that, right?
Yes, I'm sorry. There's station identification. It actually works really well when there's a boring conversation. Not so well when it's a good conversation, so...
Well, I'm happy that you think that.
This is good. Well, yeah, as Marcus says, the only people we had come in that said they were eyewitnesses, I think were lie witnesses, but...
I think getting to Faye's question, and I remember Faye from a really good show where she's very... thorough in her investigation. I remember listening to one show, and
because he's German, they're very thorough.
Yeah. So yes, I was looking at
That's
you know from my view, one building was blocking the other, sort of. But yes, there was a big fireball that came out of the right in front of me, the side of the building right in front of me. But it appeared to me as that fireball including, like, the other two sides. So for all I know, it wasn't necessary. The plane didn't have to have gone in on any particular side. And being from the Simon Shack videos that I've watched from, what was that documentary again that everyone... September Clues, right. And I've tried listening to Clues Forum. I really can't get into that too much either. I guess maybe I don't know which shows to listen to. But, I mean, I thought it was a good show, but I kept sticking to yours, and I kept sticking to Hoax Busters.
Well, you're thinking of the Clues Chronicles.
Right.
With Hoi Polloi and Kay.
Right.
And they went all over the place. I don't know how much they even talked about 9/11. I mean, they might have done one show, but...
Well, maybe I was looking for something from them, but I just couldn't find it then.
Yeah, they didn't really concentrate on 9/11 as far as I can remember, but...
So again, the fireball was right in front of me.
Yeah. So to me, that makes sense. That makes sense, if I can just say. That makes sense that they would have used a prop. They would have used props for people like you, I think, at the minimum.
So do you think I wasn't looking at an explosion? Because I was clearly looking at an explosion.
No, I think they would have probably blown out the side of the building with TNT, which is a real thing. I think they would have done that, for sure.
Right.
And a smoke machine.
Another little question only, and then we go on, and I will contact you personally via a direct message, if I may, Prince. My last question would be, as you said, you have watched September Clues, and September Clues came to the conclusion that the whole footage of the first hour and a half was staged via CGI or whatever, models or whatever, and that it was not real. Not only that there were no planes, but that also the buildings and the explosion, especially the second explosion of the South Tower, that it also was manipulated images. Would you agree with that?
You mean afterwards?
No, that it was prepared and just shown on TV, that nobody saw actually this explosion, and everyone who is saying that there was an explosion is lying.
Well, I clearly saw an explosion, and
no,
I saw the orangeness of the explosion. I clearly remember it.
I think there was an explosion. I think they had to have props for people on the ground.
My question is, I never saw the plane entry.
There were no planes.
Right. No, I get that. I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Although it's not the easiest thing to agree with, but like I said, I didn't see a plane enter. I've spoken to other people that said, oh yeah, no, I definitely saw a plane. And I just can't see how they definitely see anything, to be honest.
I saw a plane.
Hey, I want to interject with a comment from Nisa. We've talked about this. There's no reason that there couldn't have been an explosion in real life and the footage could have been manufactured in a car. I think that's the simplest explanation.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part. I didn't catch the last part of what you said.
The footage that was shown on TV is news. It was manufactured in advance in a studio, and at the time that was running, there was a real explosion. But
yes,
that just wasn't what was shown on TV. That was only for the people looking on the ground. They weren't watching TV.
Okay, so you're saying that we were shown a video or a movie, and it was happening consecutively for anybody
that
would have been on the ground or...
Yes,
know.
But that doesn't make any sense, guys. It's absolutely
Why?
Illogical. Because Why? if you produce a real explosion in this real tower, I'm talking about the South Tower, and I'm assuming now that Prince Pepe is telling his story as he really remembers it. I'm just assuming it because I cannot prove anything, as nobody of us can. Only he knows his own truth. So we are assuming now that he watched this fireball, as he said, which is compatible with the movie images that he later saw on print media or other media.
Yeah.
So you're trying to say that they produced these fake images and they produced also an explosion to cover up the possibility that people would see the real scene and could not identify them afterwards with the fake scenery. That's bullshit. That's
absolutely, without question. Absolutely. And it's a really bit, a little tedious to hear this conversation go on and on again, because they could have produced the explosion in real life. They would have had enough of a simile of what is produced on the film
to
be mixed up in people's memory. People are not going to remember whether the explosion looks exactly the same in their mind as what was shown on TV. It's the simplest explanation. They did it in advance.
I think he has a point.
I've been to Disney World enough times where they were blowing up cars and stuff on a live studio, and there's just, it's a certainty that they would have done a similar movie-style special effects at the actual location, no doubt about it.
And in addition to that, I can point. In addition to that, I can point out with great specificity the evidence of the editing and the layering on the videos that were shown on TV and show you where the layers are, where they start and stop. But it's both. So, what, we're going to make them like a few seconds of live footage without the pre-prepared stuff or an explosion? It makes no sense.
Yeah, there would have been a real... I think they would have done a Hollywood special effects for sure. No doubt.
To me, this is not proven, and my biggest argument is actually not the testimonies of three people that I have collected until now, because I cannot prove the truthfulness of these witnesses. But the biggest argument I have is that this alleged second event was quite some time after the alleged first event, which we know for sure was faked. It was medially faked, imagery faked, interviews faked, this was all prepared. But in the second event, there had been already a sufficient amount of time so that in a media capital like Manhattan City, you could not cover up that there had to be thousands, if not tens of thousands, of media people and other people just making photographs and viewing and watching and caring and telephoning all around. So the second event could not be as easy faked as the first one. That's what I'm saying, and that is what let open the possibility that this explosion was not only a part of the fake, let's say, scenery, but an immanent part of the art and method which took down these buildings.
Come on, guys. Hello?
I thought we were going to hit another banner or something just now.
Hey, I don't understand. I'm not getting what you're... I don't understand the point.
Okay, I will say it very shortly. The point is that September Clues has very important impact, very important analysis concerning the media as a whole and their role in this whole story, which continues until today, but that they are just making 100% full fakery stuff, which disallows the concrete analysis of what happened.
I'm still not really getting it. I mean, trust me, I am not a huge fan of Simon Shack, as you know.
Yes, I know that. Okay, maybe it's also my English that's a little bit German, whatever. I'm just saying that not everything was fake of the footage.
I don't think anyone's disputing that. Is anyone disputing
that? No, September Clues is disputing that 100%. That was the reason why the whole movement broke down in 2008.
So give me an example. What are they saying that's...
There was in the releases of NIST or whatever is this agency that they made this FOIA request that they released all the footage of the event. There are scenes which, for example, are analyzed by Steve. What is the guy who is talking about torpedoes or whatever missiles, which I don't believe, of course, but he uses this footage in his analysis. Of the demolition of the buildings. He's pledging for there were no floors and it was propped and prepared and everything was empty, etc. And all this discussion is completely disabled by September Clues, which says everything is fake, we don't discuss. It's just the media and basta. And this is completely unscientific. It's completely prejudice, or what do you call it? Yeah.
Bias.
from these releases, we have very convincing footage of the demolition of the North Tower and the South Tower, which are releasing a 2,500 miles high smoke plume, which cannot be explained by conventional explosives, and which has been analyzed by German physicists and an Austrian mathematician, which, who are pledging for some kind of slow, whatever kind of release of whatever energy, something which, many people here do not believe that exists, that is assumed under the term nuclear power or something. And I'm not talking about this limited hangouts with soft nuclear power and suitcase and whatever of Jim Fetzer. I'm just saying the discussion, the debate ended with September Clues and the Vixen report, and after that nothing has been done. It's either you believe everything was fake or you are just in some limited hangout.
Hey, if I was in an elevator with you and I had 10 seconds to explain 9/11 and I said, from my judgment and my observation, there were no planes used, you saw a movie on TV, and the buildings, eight buildings came down on 9/11 through some sort of pre-planned demolition, whether it was nuke, dues, conventional, whatever. You would agree with me on that, right?
I would agree that it was pre-planned. It was, of course, pre-prepared. I would not agree that it was news. I would not agree that it was conventional demolition a la CDI. And I would just want to search what exactly happened and who was harmed on that day, because I do not believe that nobody was harmed.
But
especially the helpers.
I don't understand. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand. I've said this to you last time. I don't understand why that's important, whether people were harmed or not. Why is that important?
Because there were allegedly 2,000 people from FEMA who got cancer, blood cancer, and nobody believes them and everything is fake. And I would like to be sure that these people are just actors, or that they are not actors, that they have to be, for example, get a compensation. You know, there are many important things. Truth matters. It's not just, oh, the government did it. We don't even know if the government did it.
I've never, ever in my life said the government did it, ever.
Yes, I know, but you don't know who did it exactly.
It doesn't matter who did it.
It matters because it's the same guys that are doing now COVID.
Exactly.
We have to put them on trial. We have to take them to responsibility.
Hey, then you're going to say the Nuremberg trials are real. I mean, come on. That's insulting.
Yes. We need the Nuremberg trial again, a real one.
Oh, okay. So the people who make the laws and the rules are going... That's like a cop writing himself a speeding ticket. Give me a break.
That's what you're saying. And this is actually the ambiguity, or what's the English word?
Yeah, ambiguity. Yeah.
You have to know that it is in vain, but you have still try. You have still to try because you have children, or because you have grandchildren, or because you just do it for peace, love, and whatever happiness.
Okay, wouldn't all your problems, my problems, the world's problems end if you A, turned off the media and the culture creation industry, stop sending your children to government schools? I mean, wouldn't that solve a million in one problems, just those couple things?
People are collective beings, you know. We need each other. We have concepts
right. That
we live in. Media are the water in this kind of society that we are living. We have to break them down. We have to create other media that are producing better content, truthful content, real entertainment, you know, just saying some buzzwords now. It is important. It is not just, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who took harm, or doesn't matter who, what they did exactly, if it was nuclear or not, if Manhattan... It is a war crime. What they did is a war crime.
But the war criminals, they're the ones who make the laws to prevent them from being taken down.
Yes, but we have to...
It's never worked in the past.
We have to change the laws, Marcos. We cannot be passive. We cannot be passive in life. We have to be in action. We have to be engaged.
Faye, I'm creating my own country. I'm very active. But to play into their paradigm is nuts. That's insane.
I think it's absolutely legit what you are doing. I just cannot do that. It's not for any for everybody, you know. But let's not monopolize the discussion. Let's hear the other show.
Welcome, Babette, to the chat, Johnny's List, Rez Mutt Jeff, and we got old friend, Uninstall Media, Jim Fetzer, impersonator extraordinaire, in the house! Oh, great time.
This is Without a Trace.
Rochello.
Will Woos.
Henry.
Zulo.
Rublet. SMJ.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
That was in stereo.
Yes, it was.
Hey, Uninstall, how the hell are you?
All right, man.
Been I don't think we talked
while.
To you in a couple...
Yeah, it's been a couple,
years.
A couple years. I decided to take a little break and focus on other things. And just the other day,
yeah.
I decided to listen to a few Fakeologist audios. So I figured, why the heck not? I'll join back up.
Well, you're famous in my world because when I was on another radio show, you actually called in. I thought that was amazing, and they thought I staged
that. Oh, yeah, was that the Bob and Fred show or whatever?
Yeah, the Dumble and Dread show. Or Fumble
right,
and Dread, yeah. Those guys, that was so cool. I still listen to those guys because I really want to listen to what the mainstream, what they are talking about with COVID. These guys are actually getting vicious. They want unvaccinated people arrested, and I think they're serious about it. These people are just off the charts.
Wow.
It's crazy. These guys...
Oh, yeah. Humble and Fred. That's what it was called. Yeah, yeah.
And they say it with a straight face, even though the government is paying them to advertise vaccinations now. They're shameless. Shameless shills. It's really pathetic.
Yeah, a lot of media personalities are turning into basically mouthpieces for the pharma industry. As if they weren't already. I mean, it was bad enough before all this nonsense.
All right, who's making that noise?
I'm sorry, I'm walking my dog. Should I mute myself?
Oh, is that Prince Pepe?
Prince.
Yeah. Yeah, you can go. You can go on push to talk. It's actually a pretty good feature on Discord. So if you want to talk, you just press your microphone and hold it and talk. That's a really good way of doing it. Or you can just mute.
Okay, I'm muting.
So I came in. I started listening right in the middle of the 9/11 convo, and I didn't hear the beginning. So I don't really have any context for what was being said there. Can somebody like summarize a little bit? If we want to go there again or just change the subject.
Well, basically, Prince Pepe was the first guy we've ever had on the call that we think is real that watched smoke coming out of the South Tower. And he said he saw the explosion. And he saw no planes. So that's, Marcus said that's the first time he's ever talked to anyone who has been a witness like that. So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that came out
the
other day.
Is that Tom?
It is. It is Tim. Yeah, hello, mate. It's Tom just chiming in. Okay, I've just put in the 10 minutes before I say hello. Before I go, I've got to get up early for work in the morning. But Yeah, the towers. Well, I was saying that they probably came down as live props that were filmed in real time.
No. I don't think they were filmed in real time, but I think there was...
well, yeah.
I think there definitely was some... I think there was some Hollywood at the... I think there's definitely some Hollywood theatrics at the towers.
Definitely.
No doubt in my mind.
Augmented reality.
Yeah, it's not that hard. Not that hard.
No, but anyway, he actually saw the towers smoking, so yeah, he must have witnessed it and seen what it looked like.
Well, I think so.
I just want to say that I am still on. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
The buildings obviously fell down after the blast when they told us they fell down. I mean, to me, that's obvious because, like I'm saying, I was there. And
did
I know.
Did you check your watch?
I didn't check my watch, but I know that at the time there were people saying everything happened like every 15 minutes and things like that. And there were even people saying that, you know, where I was. But I do remember there being a few minutes between hearing about the first blast and then me actually seeing the second blast. About 15 minutes maybe, but right now, you know, I don't have a good reference. I honestly did not think that I was going to bring this up. It's kind of
really?
Weird to me.
On a 9/11 show, you didn't think you'd bring up 9/11?
But not really. Always come back to 9/11. The kind of witness that I am. I thought you guys have this
different characters. On when I first came in more than 2 years ago, we had this guy with a Russian accent that claimed to
separate
pieces of a plane. On some
I remember listening to that.
Oh, yes, I remember him also.
Yeah.
Like, Pepe, you're our best witness ever. So, you,
get out.
Prince, did you actually visit the site there in the next days?
No. No, I was just I was pretty much, you know, I was just listening to everything that was being said. And that was not a place I wanted to be.
I'm sure. Pepe, you were at a Jewish school. Do you practice the Jewish faith, or were you just at a Jewish school?
No, like I said, they had a daycare there, and I don't even think it was practiced. It was practiced.
Oh, okay.
They were using a previously Jewish temple for the daycare.
Yeah. Oh, I got it. One thing I want to point out is, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you're telling the truth because you sound like a nice guy. But one thing I've learned over the years, for sure, is that eyewitness testimony is not even allowed in a court because it's very unreliable.
Absolutely.
And because,
I agree with you.
And because this is one of the most hyped up events of the last 20 years before COVID, there's no way that I think you could separate your actual witness to what you were pounded with in the media for the last 20 years. I think they would just merge naturally and quickly.
Absolutely.
I just don't think humans have the ability to separate real from reality. Even if we were recording this on 9/11, days just after it happened,
right,
and you'd watch TV, it would be so hard for you to separate what you saw in reality and what you saw on the television.
I have to disagree with that, Ab, because psychologically it is correct what you're saying, but it applies only if we have to deal with a specific kind of empiric, whatever is it called in English, thing that we live through. But if you have such an extraordinary and absolutely big thing that you are viewing for one in your lifetime, once in your lifetime, the possibility that the media afterwards cover this experience up is equal zero, because this is an event like the birth of your child. You will never forget how you felt, what you saw, where you went, if you were, you know what I'm saying.
I was at both of my births, and things are pretty fuzzy in my mind. So I'm not sure that's true. It was
yes,
a bit of a blur.
Apply to you, okay. But it is absolutely grounded.
I also don't remember what I had for dinner last night. Oh, yes, I do. I had leftovers today. It was the same thing. Damn, it was a good hamburger. But, yeah, I just think... it'd be very hard to remember, separate what you saw with what's been infused in your brain for the last 21 years. If we talked the week after, it would be different for sure.
I agree.
I know for me personally, it would be pretty easy to remember seeing an explosion.
Okay.
I remember it. I'm not going to tell you I don't remember it. But I know that in my mind, there had to be a plane because I saw it on TV. So I always had this idea in my head where I said, well, it must have made a U-turn somehow, which right now seems absolutely hysterical. But at the time, I used it every single time I talked about it. And it wasn't until, like I said, I heard one of your shows. Can't remember exactly. I know 2017, I started questioning science. And then after that, I started listening to different podcasts and eventually stumbled upon yours. I can't remember if I did Hoaxbusters first or yours first.
It doesn't matter.
But I just...
Chris almost never plugged my show.
I started to understand that there were people that were no-planers, and it shocked me at first. But I had to be honest with myself and say, I didn't see any connection of a plane between a building. And I did see an explosion. Beyond that, you're probably right. Everything else merges. A famous quote that I always say from a movie, one of my favorite movies, is a movie where Ethan Hawke says, I can't tell you exactly what happened. I can only tell you how I remember it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. It's from the movie Great Expectations with
That's
Ethan Hawke and Gwyneth Paltrow. And that's like the first thing he says in the movie.
That's a good. What is that about? In case I have to watch.
Well, it's the story about Finn, only it's done in 1997, and this young Finn likes to sketch and doodle, and he runs into an escaped convict, Robert De Niro, in the movie, and later on, he's questioning who is this benefactor he has that is supporting his art career. And I don't want to give away the ending, but at the end, he finds out who this benefactor was. Pretty good movie.
Is it a good movie?
I
Great Expectations?
It. Yeah, I liked it very much, but I fancy myself an artist, and I've always liked the premise of the film. But it's based off of the Great Expectations, you know. What's the name of that author? Very famous author. Great Expectations. Help me, guys.
I don't know. I don't read.
Charles Dickens.
Charles Dickens.
Dickens.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
We got a lot of people in this room that are smarter than I am. So that's
well, that's where that quote comes from.
Oh, that's a great quote.
Yeah.
Guys, what a great audio chat this has been. You know, Marcus has been very hesitant to come into the Discord because he doesn't like the software. But man, he's helped fire off with Benoit, one of our best audio chats ever. This is pretty cool.
No, yeah. I was late, so I don't have any part in it. It just threw the idea.
Well,
it wasn't my doing.
Well, no, you organized it though, but you organized it, so I give you credit.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was talking to Benoit earlier today, around 1:30, 2 o'clock. I was chatting,
Yeah.
I told him I was going to be
so basically,
here.
I am the guy that is throwing the party, and while you're having fun, I'm in the corner watching and having fun with myself.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, you started a great party, and it's fantastic. And
hey, Ben, did you see Putin and Biden today in Geneva?
I vaguely heard, and I will be perfectly honest, I was not really aware that there was supposed to be some kind of meeting in Geneva. That's how concerned I am. And yes, apparently they are starting to block some streets and whatever, but I will not be, I think, in Geneva when the meeting itself happens, so I don't care really.
Okay.
I can't believe you're in the belly of the beast. Can't you do some Alex Jones-style bullhorning where you just go up and yell fakeologist.com in front of Putin, say?
Oh, if you find a way to cover my legal fees, I'm ready to do some crazy shit for you.
Okay, wow.
They have very big mobilization in Geneva and in, what's the name of this castle in England where the G7 is happening now? Tom would know that, I think. They have mobilized everything that is possible. Drones, helicopters, ships, whatever, you know, for the important guys. And if you watch the images, it's G7, but there are 9 people on the image, and one is Chinese. I've never seen a Chinese representation on the G7 convention. That's crazy what's going on. So, guys, they are planning now the fourth wave, I think, in Newcastle. Or where is it happening, Tom? The G7. Are you there, Tom? Tom is not here.
No, Tom went to bed.
Oh, sorry. I could hear you, and you draw me back. I should have muted. I've got to go somewhere. Newcastle, G8, G7, big week fucking meet-up for the fucking dickhead club.
Yeah.
The posh, the suits, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, where is it held, Tom? Newcastle?
Well, I don't know. Is it in town at the moment, is it? In the north of it, northeast of England? Is that what you're saying? That's where you're saying? I don't know. I've got no idea.
No, we're asking you. You're in England. You're supposed to know these things. Come on, man. You're our England correspondent.
I forgot about that, yeah.
We have Benoit in Geneva. He reported on Geneva. You got a report on England.
Yeah, I like it. And Benoit's coming over to England next week, and we could report together, a joint report from Birmingham.
Yeah. Are you going to get together?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, it's not a definite, but Benoit's certainly coming over, and he's going to meet Sky, I think. So it's something's going to happen. We're going to try to get something. It's going to be some meet-up. I'm going to try and get there, but I need all the money in the world to have on my bet, because the football just started today, of course. And England at a great price, 11-2. So we'll see if I can get any money at all. But anyway, you don't want to hear me talking about that. I'll try and find out where the G-fucking-8 is if you want. I'll Google it. I don't care about that kind of crap.
I know.
I'm also looking, but I cannot find it. Is Newark or something like? No, not that was something else. This was Manhattan.
Let's listen to. Let's get an uninstall media back on, and find out where he's been all these years.
Tim, before you have him on, I'm gonna say goodbye. And
Marcus. Yeah.
Are you doing a show on Sunday?
Yeah, for sure. Sunday. Unless something happens. I schedule Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, plus audio chats.
So not Monday?
No, Monday got to do something now, so I don't like to promise it because I can't make it in time.
So
I
if you're doing something on Sunday.
Cornwall.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'd like to make a pretty big size announcement on your show on Sunday.
Okay. That's good.
So
yeah.
I appreciate you.
I can't wait. I have to have it now, please.
I'll give you a hint.
All right.
Hints. Crowdsourcing the truth.
More.
Oh, my God. I listened to that guy.
Jason? Not that guy. No, not that guy.
Oh.
That's the concept. So I'll announce it on Sunday. It's a pretty big announcement for me. I've been working on it for a long time.
All right. That sounds good. Well, Mark, what did you think of this audio chat? See how it works? All kinds of people just show up. Very informal. Oh, damn. I can't stop it. Top of the hour.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You didn't do a bumper every 7 minutes, and if you got rid of the gaps and the pauses, it would be great. And it was very respectful. I really appreciate that. Sometimes when I listen, I get turned away because everyone's talking over each other, but today for the it's been 2 hours. It's been great. Fantastic.
Yeah. I think usually it's really good. As long as there's no alcohol served, it usually is very good. But yeah, I think it was great. And see, a lot of the people on the call would not be able to get into a 1 hour show. And it's such a drop-in center. It's just way more interesting. It's quite random. Like, whoever thought Uninstall Media would just show up after 2 years?
Guys, everyone have a good night off to dinner. Thank you.
Bye, Mark.
Take care, Marcus. Thanks for joining.
Got it.
Bye.
Bye, Marcus.
Bye, thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
How long has this been going on? Are we on hour three now? Hour two?
Hour three.
Hour three. Okay.
Benoit generally likes to start Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, and he usually hosts it. It used to be the Friday audio chat, the FRAC, and Benoit is very, very scheduled. He's very reliable normally with the appointments, and sometimes no one's here, and I don't think he even starts the show if no one's here, but I'm not sure. But,
oh, so it's a regular weekly recording. Gotcha.
Well, usually. Benoit hosts it, and I usually, if he pings me, I'll come on. Sometimes I lose track of what time it is, but if you ping people and I see a little ping show up on my phone, I'll definitely show up. And you can ping me on Telegram or Discord. Those are the only things that I have show up on my phone. So how you been on
any other? Pretty good. You know, I'm still here in the upper Midwest, Wisconsin.
Do I see Oregon, what?
You know?
You're going to say something?
If you see any app, another application on the horizon that's going to supersede or take the place of Discord, because I feel like Discord, you know, a lot of these things like TeamSpeak, Discord, you know, they have a limited run before they go behind a paywall or something like that. Is there anything else out there that you foresee transitioning into?
Well, Telegram has an audio chat.
Uh-huh.
That, I've tried that. It does work. I could move to Telegram if I want. It's not as pretty and as full of permissions. Discord is full of permissions. I would pay for Discord, though. I would pay for that.
Yeah.
I would pay for it. I don't mind paying for software if it works, so. But yeah, you're in the Great Lakes mega region right now.
That's right, yeah. In the last couple weeks, basically, since the governor's mask mandate expired, the percentage of mask wearers flipped on its head to where it used to be majority of people wearing masks. Now it's a minority of people wearing masks when you go out. So that's refreshing to see.
You think it's going to just... Do you think it's going to flip again in September when the fourth wave extravaganza starts?
Oh, I don't know. I think it depends on whether the governor mandates a mask order, because people just seem to follow whatever order comes down from on high. So it's hard to say.
Yeah.
But and now it's like most places are like people have, they have a sign where it used to say masks are required, now it says if you've had a vaccine, you can not wear a mask, but it's like nobody's checking if you've had a vaccine, so it's all, it's completely nonsensical.
Until the bio device comes into place where they actually can somehow think they can verify your vaccination status. I think it's all conditioning,
right.
And it's not stopping. It's not going to slow down.
No, I agree. It's not going to slow down, but we're just in a weird transitional period right now where the laws haven't been implemented. The technology hasn't been implemented yet, but it's definitely been being worked on, I'm sure.
I think it's ready to go. They just don't want to pound us
they want to stretch it out because this is a narrative and it has to be timed. It's timed way too fast for real life, but it's still being timed nonetheless to try and pretend
like
that
you guys,
it's happening organically.
Yeah, like Rick said the other day, or the last audio I listened to, it's the Fabian approach, the slow drip.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. And this is, I'm just really digging into Rosa Corey. Even though she says the same thing on most of her talks, it's just so accurate, and she was so bang on. I feel bad that she really did die. It did sound like, now that I'm listening to a couple of her more recent audios, it does sound like she has something going on in her lungs, but it's hard to tell.
Was it lung cancer? Is that how she died?
Yeah. I wonder if she smoked. That's always the first question with lung cancer. Are you guys still doing the Hoax Busters Discord and audios with English James?
No, not on Hoax Busters. The Hoax Busters Discord still exists, but it's pretty dead at the moment. But yeah, we split off to a separate server. Kalito started one called the Afternoon Commute Institute, and we kind of hang out there. We do weekly chats, but we haven't recorded for a long time.
Oh, you should record.
Yeah, it's just because it came down to where I was processing all the audio, and something happened with my Windows laptop where I couldn't edit audio in Audacity. It would just get bogged down. It'd take forever to copy and paste things, so I got kind of fed up with it. I think there's some process running in the background that's, like, using all my system resources. I need to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, you're just proving that it does take some work to do all this audio processing. It's not automatic. What's your take on the whole COVIDs?
COVIDs? I mean, I was never really worried about it. I'm not getting the vaccine, that's for sure. I know people who have. They haven't had any adverse reactions for the most part, besides a sore arm. But I did talk to somebody yesterday, an older woman, probably in her late 60s, and she was telling me about her friend, another older woman, postmenopausal, who got a weird period after she got the shot, which conforms to other reports I've heard of. It is affecting women's menstrual cycles.
I know of two real people that were sicker than dogs when they got the vaccination. One was a middle-aged guy like me, and one was a young girl, woman, 19. Oh, sorry, one was a young boy, 16. He was sicker than a dog. One was a YouTuber who I think is real that talks about diabetes, and she said when she got the first vaccine, she's never felt worse in her life, including when she found out she was diabetic, which is usually a very bad day when you find out you're a type 1 diabetic. I know firsthand that you almost die on that day. So, yeah, I think some people are really getting super ill from the poison. I'm glad to hear you're not getting it.
Yeah. But even the mask thing, like, there are certain situations where I pretty much had to wear a mask because it was work-related. So I did that. I didn't complain about it. But still, I don't know. I usually don't get sick. I haven't gotten sick in the last few years. So I don't know. I'm just kind of existing, you know. It's funny. I don't really think about it all that much. But obviously, I mean, it doesn't really affect my personal life. I'll say that. Like, as far as work goes, nobody's pressuring me to get a jab. So that's it. That's nice. But, you know, obviously this whole narrative is being used to mold society in a new direction.
Oh, yeah. Does your state give away goodies for getting the vaccination like some of these other states?
No, we don't have the lottery here. I heard the story about Ohio. That's pretty hilarious.
California, that cheeseball governor, he's pathetic when he was talking about their wheel of vaccinations at that game show. I thought it was a joke. It was really sad. He's a real cheeseball.
Well, yeah, it just seems like, they're doing everything possible to get as many people to take the shot, which to me is suspect, obviously. I mean, there's a lot of marketing involved. And these things aren't even FDA approved. Like, that even matters because the FDA approves all kinds of toxic shit anyway. But you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's just, it's a mass public trial. Like, we're all guinea pigs.
Do you think there's any real poison to kill people in the vaccination? Or do you think they're using it as a lever because they really want ID 2020 to go through so they can basically put inventorize human beings?
I think that has a lot to do with it, yeah. Creating more registries for people to sign into. As far as poisons go, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's in these things. And as far as, like, health and wellness, I think a lot of it is psychological, where, you know, if you're super nervous and stressed out that you're going to get sick, you're probably going to get sick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's real. Well, for the people that have been stressing for a year and a half, it really must be awful on their health.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, like, yeah,
that's a lot of stress.
Really stressed out about it. It's unfortunate.
The only stress I have is the consequences from being in a vaccinated society. That's to me, that is a low-level stress in my life. I'm thinking, well, if the whole world that I live in turns their guns on the unvaccinated, and I don't think they'll kill us, but I think they're going to make life pretty uncomfortable. That's the only thing that worries me, and if they start tying it to everything that we try and do, like a driver's license, it's going to really screw things up in a big way.
Yeah, I am concerned about that, too. I am concerned about that, because it seems to be that's where it's heading.
Yeah.
Tim.
That's my biggest fear, but, yeah.
Would you say that everyone, I mean, what's the percentage of people that you know versus people, you know, people that you know that got the shot and people that you know that haven't?
I would say almost everyone around me is getting the shot. So,
really?
I don't like the numbers. I don't find too, I flipped a couple people that were on the fence, but I don't even know if they're telling the truth. So.
I haven't been able to flip anybody. To be honest, I know I'm probably going about it all wrong, but I don't know how to get anyone to believe me. I mean, I'm just a basic nobody, right? I mean, why would they believe me if they believe everything else they see on TV? And that to me is upsetting. When it happens to a family member of mine, you know, then that's even more upsetting, right? But I wish I could find a way to just open people's eyes.
Yeah.
Well,
I think a lot of the vaccine, I'm hoping, maybe it's an unreasonable hope, I'm hoping that a lot of the atrocity propaganda about the vaccine injuries is fake, but I'm not sure.
So you think that bears might be fake too?
No, well, it's not very validated in any way. It's an open database. It's like a crowdsourced spreadsheet or database.
Right.
There's no way to verify a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, I don't think it's got a lot of integrity as a database.
I have to agree. I mean, I want to believe that what it's saying is true, but how do we know? I mean, we're not getting anything neutral from, in any way, shape, or form. There's nothing neutral. There's nothing transparent. We're not allowed a second opinion. I mean, this is medical tyranny, no matter how you look at it.
It's run by the CDC, and the CDC is not a federal agency. It's not a government agency. It's a big pharma marketing board,
absolutely.
Charity. So there is no independent reporting service, and that's the problem. We don't have an equivalent in Canada at all. They said they set one up, but I don't even think they're using it. So we don't have anything. And if they really were interested in gathering data from the world's largest experiment, they're not even pretending to do any data gathering of any integrity. They don't, like, for instance, when you watch the Oscars back in the day, they hire Ernst & Young accounting firm to count the bloody Academy Award votes, which is, of course, probably completely a lie as well.
I remember that.
They're not even doing any, like, you would hope that this data, if it's so important, that someone with integrity would be checking it. There is nobody checking the data.
So then the CDC is only for the United States then?
Yeah, that's a corporation charity slash charity in the United States. We don't have, there is no CDC of Canada. There is a British Columbia Center for Disease Control that was set up as a charity by the World Health Organization in the last 10 years. They set that up. And Public Health Canada is another charity that was set up by the World Health Organization in Canada. It's not the government. It's a charity that accepts government donations and corporate donations to basically act as the money raiser, propaganda distributor of vaccinations in Canada. But it's not a government agency. The government just pays it, which gives it an arm's length relationship with it, so they're not responsible for any of the horse shit they put out. So people don't even understand that. I didn't know about that till 2 weeks ago when some real investigative blogger revealed that it's a charity, for God's sakes.
Yeah, no, I kind of believe that because simply they keep talking about fire Fauci, and I don't think anybody has that power. They didn't hire him.
Well, he's not with the CDC. I think he's the director of the NIH, which is another phony baloney institution that's probably a charity that's funded by Big Pharma. They probably get some government funding as well, but that's probably a charity as well.
Okay, yeah. So Fauci, real person?
Yeah, he's been around hawking vaccinations and
since the AIDS
other
virus, right?
Poison. Yeah, he brought that one in, and they probably killed a lot of...
Or should I say the HIV virus? It's not
well, there's
the
no
virus. Right.
Yeah,
no,
there is no virus. But,
I agree with you there.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was studying that for years, just because once you study things like 9/11 and realize how easy it is to fool people, I looked into the AIDS thing, and this is a carbon copy of it, and of course he's the person that's the spokesman for COVID because he did such a good job with AIDS and nobody figured out AIDS. Researchers did. But
a lot of people died, right? You agree that a lot of people died there.
I think they poisoned, the treatment killed a lot of people.
The AZT, right?
I think it just chemotherapy. Chemotherapy has a 95% death rate with cancer. So why the heck? No, it's the same probably for AIDS.
Right.
It's very toxic. It kills people.
I what also bothers me too.
After the break.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Hey, go ahead, Pepe. I only got 10 minutes. 10 minutes
left.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That's
so
all right.
What also bothers me, too, is all this talk about the virus being a bioweapon and it was made in a lab. And I know it sounds horrifying for me to say something like this because I'm horrified that I'm even saying it. But if I was going to create a virus, we would have women and children dead in the street, right? I mean, if you were going to create a bioweapon, right, that's what would happen. And that's not what's happening here. I'm not saying that no one's dying. Maybe there are people out there that are saying that no one's dying. I know that there are people that are saying that, you know, there was nobody in the hospitals. And I really, you know, can't verify any of that. I can't speak towards any of that. But it just sounds like it makes sense.
The official story is the hospitals have been cleared for the wave of people that will come in. But you see, they never come in.
Right.
But they always say we have to clear the hospitals for the... Our modeling suggests there will be a wave of people.
Right.
So they have an explanation, a plausible deniability for everything that's happening. So, yeah, of course the hospitals are empty, they'll tell you, because
We need to get ready and keep the beds open for the wave of people according to our modeling.
Right. But now, at the same time, about the same time, these people, for some reason, they think it's, you know, such an amazing thing to say, oh, it's a bioweapon, it's made in a lab, it's engineered.
Yeah, but that,
but
that
at the same time,
the virus myth, though.
Right, absolutely. And what they're not thinking of is, well, then why are you demanding a man-made vaccine? I mean,
well,
if you're saying that this terrible thing, this virus, is attacking us, you're just going to make it worse by taking whatever they give you.
When you have a lie, when you have everyone asking the wrong questions, the answers don't matter. So as long as they're not asking the right questions, they don't care what you're talking about.
Yeah,
as long as you're
I've
not questioning
that.
The idea that a virus is contagious, then it doesn't matter what you're talking about. You are talking about Fauci knew, Fauci didn't know, it was in Wuhan, it was in Port Dietrich, it was deliberate, it was an accident. They put all those stories out. They put all those talking points out, and people can grab on to whichever one they want and run like hell with it. But when someone starts to question whether viruses are actually contagious or not, or if our body produces them and they don't, and they're used as garbage cleanup for our already poisoned cells, which happens from toxemia, which is caused by chemical pollution and pesticides and all the other things that bioaccumulate in our systems, then they don't care. They don't care what you're talking about. But
yeah,
don't bring up the important point. Like, nobody in the media asks, are viruses contagious? Not one person in the mainstream media would ever ask that question.
Absolutely.
That would be the only question. That would be the only question I would ask. And they never say it's actually spreading. They just say, according to our models, this is how it would spread. And they never said it was a pandemic. They said it was characterized as a pandemic, as in a drill. So everything they say is true. People don't listen. And that's what they count on.
Like I said, there's nothing neutral. They're not coming from a neutral spot. It's always biased. It's always, you know, their one-sided view of what they're telling us is going on. And no one seems to, like, no one that I've spoken to seems to get that part. I don't know. I can talk about it till I'm blue in the face with some people, but
people are dying at the same rate they've always died. The numbers in Canada were a tiny bit higher, I believe, for last year. And, you could attribute that to just about anything because it's a very small variance. You could attribute it to we had more old people in the country. You could attribute it to locking people up. You could attribute it to suicide. You could attribute it to change in living arrangements because everyone was locked up. You could attribute it to stress. But there was no mass wave of death. It was the normal wave. It was the normal statistics plus a tiny little extra that was not statistically significant. So people are still dying because people always die. But nobody ever broadcasted the number of people dying 2 years ago on a daily basis.
It's very hard to convince people of that.
Oh, yeah,
and certain people that I know will come right out and say that I know 8 people that died of it. I know 8 people, you know, and my wife knows another 8 people, you know, that are her friends or that are her side. And that these people are young, that they're not as old as everyone keeps saying that the old people have died.
Yeah, but they're attributing COVID to every single type of death. And since there's no test for COVID, since it doesn't exist,
Absolutely. And
it's also being falsely attributed to a phony baloney.
I agree.
It's very well constructed, the PSYOP. Very well
constructed. You've played on some of your shows in the beginning of all of this. You played some other Dr. Tim, right?
Yeah, I think he's a chiropractor. I just found out. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's really good. And he pretty much is... He pretty much, for me, he predicted this whole thing in the sense that he was talking about how it was going to start to die down. The cases were going to start to die down sometime around the vaccine rollout, so that it would appear that the vaccine had something to do with it. And, you know, then now we can just attribute this to the whole vaccine and the cases going down because of that. And now we can take off our masks all of a sudden, which I never believed in the first place, that we should be wearing masks. And I wore masks, of course, because you can't go in the store. But I never wore a mask outside, and I thought it was ridiculous to wear a mask in the car. And I used to do Uber, so I'll never do Uber again, because they just make these guys wear the mask all the time while they're driving.
Yeah, I know.
Whether they have someone in the car or not, and then they check them on the screen of the phone.
Yeah, I know. That's really bad. I haven't done Uber in years. I'm going to have to cut you off because I'm going to lose you, but
I'm sorry.
Chatting. Thanks for joining. And you can show up at 5 in the morning tomorrow because we have the Australian round table if you want to come on that. That's early in the morning.
5 in the morning
You're
tomorrow?
Welcome.
On my
yeah,
side?
That's when, that's when the Australians talk.
I'll be there. I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll think about it.
Talk to Johnny just now.
I'd love to stay and chat, but I just wanted to, at some point, I'm actually going to work. I've just pulled up. But, yeah, good chat. It was really good listening to that. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, great chat. Thanks.
Yeah. No,
oh, we got to get Pepe to do a bumper. Pepe, can you do a bumper?
I don't know. Maybe next time.
Okay. Well, if you change your mind, you can do it on Speedpipe.
Trying to figure out whether
main,
I shouldn't have said my name or not.
Pepe?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out whether I should have said my name or not, but I wish I knew people
I didn't
that listen to the show now that I think of it.
I didn't hear your name, so I call you Pepe.
No, I don't remember that either.
Yeah,
you're okay.
If you want to do a bumper, go to fakeologist.com/blog, #SpeakPipe, and you can leave your voice bumper there.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks.
See you tomorrow,
Johnny's list.
We'll do, Ed.
Yeah,
see
thank you. See you tomorrow.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you also leaving, guys? I've got to go. I've just pulled up to work. I don't usually work. Saturday morning in Australia. I don't usually work Saturdays, and I like to come on here, but I've got to work. So I've got to go. It's been a great chat. And yeah, well done. So.
Okay, so, yeah, nice to meet you and see you next time. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's all, folks.